A view of China's economy through the prism of a coffee cup. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. At the Starbucks annual meeting in China this week, the boss was there, of course, managers, rank and file too, and a lot of parents, as if the big corporate meeting was like a college graduation ceremony. Starbucks wants parents to be proud their kids grew up to work at a coffee bar. Parents in China, like parents in a lot of places, don't first think of the service sector when they imagine their future careers for their kids. Starbucks today sweetened the deal by offering its workers in China a housing allowance, a monthly cash stipend, to cover half the cost of their living arrangements. Today I asked Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz about this. He was in Chengdu, the big city in southwestern China.
This is all in keeping with what philosophically we believe, and that is the new role and responsibility of a company to not only make a profit, but do everything we can to take care of our people. In China specifically, our employees, our partners are traveling, in some cases, great distances to work in our stores. So we are going to invest millions of dollars in a housing allowance that will allow them to live closer to the stores they're working in, less commuting time, and I think it lowers attrition, higher performance, and I think most importantly, creates trust with our people.
A monthly stipend, as I understand it. Why structure it that way? I mean, another way to do it would be to give your folks a raise that would be equivalent.
We've consistently provided an opportunity for people to work at Starbucks way over the average wage, starting wage in the country of China, way over our peer group. And despite the fact that there's been so much noise, and in some cases propaganda about the problems in China or the economic issues or the market forces, I'm very bullish long term on the economy, on the middle class, which will grow to over 600 million people in over the next 10 years. And we're building a long-term business here, and the way to do that is to share the success with our people.
It is an issue I wanted to talk to you about, one of the great mysteries of the global economy here at the dawn of 2016. How much has the pace of economic growth slowed in China? That question has been roiling markets. Your sense is the scare talk has been what? You think overdone?
What I see on the ground, despite all the press and the noise, is an economy that is still consumer-based. People are upbeat, although the stock market in China has gone down and going through a rough period and certainly having a cause and effect on the U.S. sentiment in our own markets. The people invested in the stock market here in China only represents about 6% of total households. You have to recognize that this is a cyclical change, but the long-term opportunity here in China, I think, is very significant. And one day, our business in China at Starbucks could be bigger than the business in the U.S.
I admired the candor of a piece of, I think it was a press release that Starbucks put out ahead of this. It said, this is Starbucks here, many parents in China don't think service industry jobs are desirable careers. Is there a career path for a barista in China?
There certainly is. And the interesting thing about what's happening for Starbucks in China is the majority of the people who work at Starbucks in China are college graduates. We have young people who started as baristas are now managing stores, district managers, regional managers. And that's one of the reasons why I think we've attracted great people, why our attrition is very low. And despite the fact that many other Western companies have come to China and not succeeded, we're enjoying fantastic success here. We also recognize that success is not an entitlement. We have to keep earning it. And one of the ways we're going to do that is keep investing in our people.
Howard Schultz, CEO of Starbucks. Mr. Schultz, always good to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
China is Starbucks' second largest market with 2,000 outlets there compared to on every corner here, 12,000 in the U.S. if you need a number. For U.S. employees, the focus isn't a housing stipend. It's Starbucks paying for workers to get college degrees via Arizona State University online. Now let's check the markets. The 100 share index in London is up 1.6%. After an awful Monday, the key stock index in Shanghai rose 0.7% today. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.7% range, as if the Dow were up 112 points. Let us talk beer, even at this hour. There's a massive merger in the works between Beer Conglomerate A and Beer Conglomerate B to win approval from antitrust regulators. Anheuser-Busch InBev and SABMiller might have to sell off some famous brands. The Wall Street Journal is reporting today that brewers in Japan, the Philippines, and Thailand may want to buy, for instance, Peroni or Grolsch. Cash is king, including when it comes to buying real estate in America. In the most recent month where there's data, 38% of single-family homes and condo sales were all cash, up from just less than 30% the month before. That's according to a report today from RealtyTrack. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer looks at why.
RealtyTrack Vice President Darren Bloomquist says the uptick in cash sales is temporary, caused by new federal rules that change how the costs of a loan are disclosed. Bloomquist says that slowed down the loan process, so
cash buyers have an even bigger leg up on finance buyers than they did before.
But Bloomquist says once everybody gets used to the new rules, cash sales will slip back to around 30%, the norm since 2000. But then he adds this.
There is a caveat there in terms of global economic stability.
That's a big caveat. More and more wealthy foreigners are paying cash for U.S. real estate as a hedge against their own tanking economies. George Mason University economist Anthony Sanders says that's not about to stop.
I don't see any bottom to the Chinese meltdown. So I think this could actually very easily last through the year.
But mainly on the East and West Coasts, in cities like L.A., New York, and where I am, in Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And the app for finding a date in a hurry, Grindr, just sold most of itself to a big investor, a Chinese gaming company. There's news that Beijing Kunlun Tech is paying $155 million for 60% of Grindr. The plan is to leave the Los Angeles-based management team in place. Grindr is focused on gay men and operates in 196 countries now. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.